Okay. So that's what I did this past week, right? Not the whole time, but I went down to Brown County for a few days, and we get a cabin down there, and one of the things that got us the hot tub, and even in the wintertime, how many of you know even in the wintertime a hot tub is, yeah. And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm watching, I like to watch birds, so I'm watching the birds, you know, just taking it all in, and one of the things that God said to me was, this is the year of the mantle. Somebody say mantle. Mantle. How many of you know what a mantle is? Maybe. Yeah, you're like, okay, is it a fireplace mantle? Is it a, what kind of, what are we talking about here? And one of the things he's been having me do is study 2 Kings 2. So this is where Elijah's taken up to heaven. How many of you know the story of Elijah? Being taken up to heaven. Okay, so he was taken up in a what? Whirlwind. Very good. Very good, Charles. Whirlwind. He was taken up in a whirlwind. But so they're on their way there, him and Elisha. So you get this Elijah and Elisha, and as you're telling the story, you get the names mixed up, Elijah and Elisha. But Elisha is about to take over where Elijah is going to leave off. And so they're walking about, and this is the day that, or this is the time that Elijah's going to be taken up into heaven. And so they're traveling together, and Elijah tells Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha says, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, Elisha, and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Shut up. So Elijah says to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord is going to take away your master from over you today? He answered, yes, I know, but shut up. Actually, it says be still in this translation, but shut up works. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Now 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood opposite them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle and folded it together and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Now here's the verse I want you to get. When they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I should do for you before I'm taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Okay, so they're going along talking. Behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a what, Charles? A whirlwind to heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where's the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. So Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle and from there went on. In other words, what happened was Elijah went up into heaven and this cloak, this mantle fell down. After he's taken up into this world, when this mantle falls, Elisha picks up the mantle, and the torch has been passed. It's on. It's time for the next guy. So as I was telling you this story, who's the main character of this story? Somebody. Not Elijah, believe it or not. Elisha. Here's a man, Elijah, is a guy, this one of the greatest prophets in the whole Bible, and he gets taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. Doesn't go through death, doesn't go through any type of illness or sickness or anything. He gets taken up into heaven, and the story isn't even about him. The story's about Elisha. So this tells us that God is a forward thinker. Can I get an amen? Because God doesn't live in the past. God lives in the now, and he lives in the future. He knows what's coming. He knows, the Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to what? Prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Okay, so I'm sitting there and I've studied all this and I'm thinking, what is this all about? Why am I here in 2 Kings 2? And then I'm in that hot tub and he says, this is the year of the mantle. So do you know that we all have a mantle? We all have something, a purpose in life. We've all been given a cause, that we were born for such a time as this. So if you are here today, I don't care if you're 35, 36, my age, I don't care if you're 92, I don't care if you're 5, you're here because you have a purpose, all right? You're here because you've been given a mantle. So we all have a mantle, but sadly, we haven't claimed our mantle, all right? How many of you know what your purpose is in life? Yeah, exactly. And a lot of us struggle sometimes because guess what? Our purpose, we could fulfill it at one point, and it might even change. Or it might not have been our ultimate purpose. It might have been the one thing that prepared us for our ultimate purpose. You know, sometimes we think our job is our purpose. Yeah, maybe so. But then what do we do after our job? We retire. Then what? Are we still here on this earth? Absolutely. Because we've got a purpose. We've got a reason to live. We were created for a purpose. So let me give you an example. Is this fine-looking specimen right here. This started off as somebody's home piano. It was a legitimate grand piano. It had all of the stuff in it. It had the strings and the hammers and the you name it. It was all in there. And this thing weighed probably 2 tons. That's what it felt like. So it went to hospice before the inpatient center came in. And the it sat in hospice forever. And then the soundboard in it went bad. It cracked, and so this thing would never stay in the tune anymore. So they were looking to get rid of it. I picked it up, and I gutted it, and it wasn't blue, by the way. It was the brown, and I gutted it. We had painted it up, and I took it on gigs for the band that I'm in, okay? Then we got, by the way, this is still heavy. This is like solid right here. It's really heavy. So we come across the place that we were doing a gig, and they gave us a piano shell that was a whole lot lighter, and I said, yes, I'm in, because picking this up every time we go on a gig was, So I told Max about this, and Max said, you know, we ought to have somebody in this room paint this bad boy up and do all kinds of cool stuff with it. So we contacted somebody in this room, Tracy Grimm, who paints cars and stuff like that. And we asked him to take on this project, and he said, yeah, no problem. And he said, what do you want to do? And we stared at him with a blank face. And he threw out all these ideas, including this right here. And if you look really close, there's all kinds of neat little metal flake. It looks like a hot rod, just saying. And its purpose is up here. And we've put a piano in it, and here it is today. But it went through so many different changes. It went through so many different people. It went through so many, different scenarios and circumstances. It was in a home. It was at gigs. It was in weddings and things like that. You name it. It went through all kinds of different things. And here it stands today. That's just a piano shell. It's a piece of wood that somebody painted up. How much more important are you than that piano shell, right? So if that piano shell can have a purpose and go through all kinds of purposes, let me say that you can do the exact same thing. And if you're still here, that you have a purpose. So he's been giving me this prophecy thing too, and I'm not the only one, because I've been listening to other people say the same thing. And it's that big things are coming, and this year is a very pivotal year. It's going to be what he has been telling me anyway. It's going to be worst of times, best of times. And it's in that order for a reason. So not, you know, what's the book? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. What was that book? Oh, come on, English. What was it? Tale of Two Cities. Thanks, Russ. See, Russ did his homework. Give Russ a hand. He did his homework in school. He didn't slack off. He wasn't a partier or anything like that. He was at home always doing his homework, reading books and stuff. Anyway, okay, so it's the worst of times and the best of times, and it's going to be in that order for a reason. And it's going to seem like God isn't here, okay? But in all reality, God is hard at work, and he's going to be hard at work in each of us. And through all of this, some amazing things are going to take place, and we're going to find out our mantle. We're going to pick up our mantle. I believe this year is a year that a lot of us are going to figure out what it is we were born for, what it is we were created for. And it's going to be such a necessity. You're going to be such a necessity as time moves forward that you're going to realize this is what I was here for. This is what my purpose is in life. Now, the only book that I can tell you in the Bible, if we're going to use scripture to preach, the only book that I can tell you in the Bible that could remotely come close to this prophecy is the book of Esther. So Esther is a book that, if you look through it, God's name is not in there whatsoever. There's no mention of God in the book of Esther. Yet, if you read the whole book of Esther, 10 chapters, God's seal is stamped all over that thing because God is at work. He might not be talking. And they might not reference God, but God is very hard at work. And we're going to go through this in the next week or so. We're going to try and figure this thing out. But there is some amazing things to gain from the book of Esther. So, okay, can I have some, about a handful of volunteers? I need somebody who's willing to play Esther. Come on. Come on. Come on up. Anybody. I'm going to, Jimmy, is that who you're pointing to? Jimmy plays Esther? How you doing, Esther? All right. We got an Esther. Now, I need another person to play the queen. Are you coming up to play the queen? Well, you be the king. Wait a minute. Jim's coming up. Okay, he's... Just stand there. Oh, my gosh. This went downhill really fast. Can I get a queen, like... Her name is Vat. Come on up, Mert. Thank you. This is perfect for Mert. And I need a Mordecai. I need a guy, another guy. Unless there's a girl that wants to play an uncle. Who knows? Can I get another guy? All right, Rick. We got Rick. Give me five. Show me live. How you doing? Okay, so here's the story. This is how... This is how Esther starts off. There's a king. You're going to be the king, right? Yeah, that's you. You're the king. No, you're the king. Mert's the queen. Okay, you're the king. The king is taking stock of all he's got, right? This is Persia. So the Persian Empire is growing. It's vast, and it's man, there's all kinds of stuff. And the king's taking stock, and he's going, man, I got it all. And he says, I got the most beautiful queen in the whole world, okay? But here's the thing. He holds this banquet for all you people, and he wants to show off his most beautiful prized possession. But the queen says, I ain't doing that. He ain't going to tell me what to do.
True.
Yeah, see? he ain't gonna tell me what to do. So she goes off. The queen goes off. She's like, I refuse to come to this banquet. And so the king says, well, ain't no woman gonna disobey me. And so the people come to him, and some of his top advisors come to him, and they say, listen here, we can't have the women of this whole empire. We can't have them thinking they can go against their husbands here. You need to do something about that queen. She's out of hand. So he says, no, he didn't do off with her head. Sorry.
What do you think?
He said, off with your head.
Yeah, right.
Rick, I'm sorry, but the queen could take you. So the queen goes, and the king says, she ain't going to be queen no more. So the king says, we're going to call all... You can go sit down now. So the king says, we're going to call out to all the virgins in the whole empire, all of the provinces and all of that. And so they all come, and Mordecai, who is... Can you say Mordecai?
Mordecai.
Very, very good. Mordecai, who is Esther's uncle, said, you know, I'm raising Esther. Esther is my niece who I have had to adopt because her parents died. And so... Mordecai raised Esther from a young, very young age. By the way, Esther's real name is Hadassah. Say Hadassah.
Hadassah.
Hadassah. That means compassion. Esther is a Persian name that was given to her, and it means star, or it could mean that she was named after their goddess Ishtar, which is where we get Easter, by the way. And so Mordecai has to give up Esther to go and be a part of this whole deal in front of the king. So Mordecai gives up Esther, who and so the king takes in all of these virgins, and they come in harems. They're given to these people who are ahead of the concubines. And so anyway, the whole deal is Esther gets prepared to meet the king. She gets 6 months of myrrh. Have you ever smelled myrrh? Like the essential oil? No? Yeah, right, Jimmy. You wear them all. Anyway, myrrh. She gets 6 months of myrrh, and then she gets 6 months of cosmetics. And so she looks amazing by the time she's done. And she goes and presents herself to the king, who says,
you're the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life.
Go for it.
You're the most beautiful thing.
Whatever. So all of I'm going to fall off a step. So all of these virgins, now they go back and they get Esther. Esther's the one that the king falls in love with. And so this is the most pivotal. It's in Esther chapter 2. I want to share this with you. This is the pivotal verse. It's in verse 17. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of her. Okay, so that's pivotal. Now listen, Esther is Jewish, but nobody knows about it. Okay, listen to this, verse 10 of chapter 2. Esther did not make her people or her kindred known, for Mordecai had instructed her not to. And then again in verse 20, Esther had not made known her kindred or her people, even as Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther did what Mordecai told her, as she had done under his care. Now there's a reason for that, okay? Because timing is everything. Somebody say God's timing is everything. God's timing is everything. Now, you guys can go sit down. Give them a hand, by the way. By the way, Katie loves Marty, not Jim. And Darlene is right now the Jim has ever seen. So there's nothing there. Just... In fact, Jim wanted to be queen, so hey. You know? I mean, that should tell you something right there. I don't know. But God's timing, guys. Yeah. We lost that one. God's timing is everything. But here's the thing I want you to know. In order to receive our mantle, we need to prepare our hearts for what's to come. We have to know who we are. So do you all know who you are? Listen, James 3, 9 through 11 says, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. He's talking about tongues. Who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? And what he's saying is, you have powerful words that can come out of your mouth. So you can either speak blessings or you can speak cursing. How many of you think negatively about yourself? Yeah. We all do, I'll bet. At times we think the worst of ourselves. How many of you think the best of yourself? Yeah. Not always do we do that, do we? We think this is the bad things are what define us. You know, we might have a past. Everybody's got a past. You might have been abused as a child. You might have been raped at one point. You might have been neglected. You might be going through anxiety. You might be going through loneliness. You might be going through all kinds of circumstances. And we take those circumstances, and those are the things we use to define who we are. Well, let me tell you who you're not. You're not the boy or girl who was neglected, okay? That's not who you are. You're not the boy or girl who was raped. You're not the boy or girl who might have psychological issues. You're not the person who was afflicted and survived cancer. No, God healed you of cancer. God pulled you through cancer, okay? And just like Corey, I believe God is going to pull you through cancer and heal you completely. There's not just surviving it. It is being pulled through and it is overcoming it because of God. So you're not the person who's addicted to something. Those things, they don't define you. They were a circumstance in your life, yes, but they don't define who you are. And those circumstances, what defines you is how God has brought you through them. And he has. You're sitting here today, right? You're sitting here today and there's a hope for tomorrow. You're sitting here today because you've got a mantle, you've got a purpose. And it's nothing to do with, because you can't define yourself as those things in the past. So my question is, who are you? Who are you? Another thing you aren't, by the way, is of this world. You may be in this world, but the Bible says that you are not of this world if you are in Christ. So people tend to act on what they believe. Do you know that? So if you think that you're, you know, if you think that you're a bad person, chances are you're probably going to act like you're a bad person. If you think, I'm just an anxious person, what do you think you're going to have? You're going to act in anxious, in anxiety. If you're lonely, what are you going to do? You're going to be lonely. And chances are you might even isolate yourself unintentionally. But people act on what they believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? See, because if you believe in Jesus, that's one thing we need to act on, right? Pastor Max said last week that believing is a verb. So we need to act on what we believe, but we need to believe the right things about us because we're entitled, but we've put ourselves in with the wrong titles in life. We've given ourselves wrong titles. We've let other people put wrong titles on us because out of the same mouth comes a blessing and comes a curse. And so I would encourage you to speak the blessing into your life. I would encourage you to speak the good things about yourself into your life. Listen, you're here today because somebody loves you. You're here today because Jesus loves you. You're here today because the Holy Spirit led you. Ain't nobody going to come here when it's snowed and the roads are drifted if you don't want to be here. Amen? Amen? So if you're here for a reason because God loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you, and he wants to do a work in you. And you know what? That's the time when you need to say, I'm his. That other stuff, that's not me. Yeah, that happened to me. That ain't me. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. My testimony is the fact that that happened to me, and now I'm here. That happened to me, but I am God's, and I belong to him. That happened to me, but I've been healed. That happened to me, but I have overcome it because of Jesus and because he went to the cross. And when we get to do that, then we need to know this. We have to know who we belong to, and we have to know who we belong to. So in other words, not only do you have to know that you belong to Jesus or you belong to God, but you got to know the God that you belong to, right? You got to know him personally. You got to know him. And you got to, the last time we talked about that experiential knowledge, we talked about the fact that it's more than just the head knowledge, that we got to let it get into our hearts. We got to experience it. We got to have an encounter. So often we go out into the world and we like to tell people how wrong they are, don't we? We like to tell people the bad things that they're doing. What we don't realize is they haven't had that encounter like we have. They haven't had that encounter to have their eyes open or to have their hearts open. They haven't had that encounter in order to realize, this thing over here ain't right. This thing over here, man, I'm doing that. I can't believe I've been doing that my whole life. They haven't had that encounter yet. And so we need to know who we belong to, and we need to know who we belong to. This is why God says, if you seek me and seek me wholeheartedly, I'll let you find me. And that's in Jeremiah 29:13. Right after he says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And if you seek me, and if you seek me with all your heart, I'm going to let you find me. Okay, so we've talked before about experiencing God and walking in his promises. The time is crucial to know him. The time is crucial to know that we belong to him. And listen, just like Esther didn't reveal who she was to other people, it's going to be hard for us to reveal who we are to other people until we know who we are. All right? Because if we don't know who we are, it's going to be hard to reveal that to other people. So Esther never walked away from her heritage. Esther never stopped being Jewish. She never hid, sure she hid it, but she never ran away from it. She was instructed to hide her Jewishness, and there's a reason, and we're going to discuss it next week. But again, timing is everything, and even more important, God's timing is everything. Can you imagine how scared Esther must have been? I mean, here's a girl, young girl, she's never been with a man before. Now all of a sudden she's thrusted up to the very top, the man of man, when it comes to the right. I mean, the man who wants to be a queen instead of a king. But the man of man's, she's thrusted to the top. And he's not even Jewish. He's Persian. He's Persian. And he's got one thing in mind, and that's himself, right? That's himself. And so how scared Esther must have been to take everything she knew about life and to go into this next level. But there was a reason, because Esther had a mantle. As we walk in the knowledge of who we are and whose we are, we're going to come into some unlikely circumstances. Let's take Mordecai, for example. Mordecai was one who went to the king, or saved the king, excuse me. In those days, it says Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthan and Teresh, two of king's officials from those who guarded the door became angry and sought to lay hands on the king. But the plot became known to Mordecai, and he told Queen Esther, and Esther informed the king in Mordecai's name. Now, when the plot was investigated and found to be so, they were both hanged on a gallows, and it was written in the Book of Chronicles in the king's presence. Just one little act is going to be such a pivotal thing. It's an unlikely circumstance that a Jewish person in that time, that a Jewish person would even be in the courts of the king, the Persian king, let alone save his life. Okay, so let me ask you this. Who is in your life maybe that you need to portray that act of kindness? Who is in your life that maybe you need to forgive? Who is it in your life that you need to be kind to? The reason is very pivotal. It seems like a small thing. In fact, that little story right there, that was just a few sentences long, just a paragraph long. But it's going to make a huge difference in the very end, because God has something big coming. And even Mordecai had a mantle. But listen, Esther had a mantle, and everything's being prepared for it. And we need to prepare our hearts for our mantle. Our mantle's coming. Do you remember the saying, one small lie leads to another? What else does one small lie lead to? A bigger lie, right? So listen to this. Here's the opposite side of that. One small deed leads to another. One small deed leads to one big deed. Just like the lie. One small lie leads to a whole bunch of them. One small deed leads to a whole bunch of them, right? Okay, and listen to this. And mom, catch this, because this is something you and I talked about. for this thing, for every one evil deed that's been done, I'm telling you that God will use that and use it tenfold for his glory. Mm-hmm. So every little one little deed that is done. And listen, we live in 2019. How many evil deeds have been done? Right? But for every one little evil deed that's been done, how much more will the Holy Spirit, will God use it for his glory tenfold? I believe this is going to be a critical year, and it's crucial that we know and we walk in these things as Christians, as believers, because I do believe that God has been telling me that big things are coming. He's been telling a whole bunch of people that big things are coming. You don't have to take my word for it. Go watch TV, watch Christian TV if you want. All of the people that are saying big things are coming this year, big things are coming this year. But I'm telling you that while the bad things will happen, there's some really, 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 really amazing things that are coming. And it's going to involve each and every one of you sitting in this room. But my only prayer is that you're going to open your heart and be prepared for what's to come. Because I believe that your mantle is on the horizon, okay? I plan to talk more about it next week, because there's some really cool things about Esther. There's really cool things about the story that are relating to what's to come even now. There's this really cool, if I can sound like highfalutin and all that, there's this really cool paradigm going to take place, right? Somebody say paradigm. See, you're all highfalutin too, you just didn't know it, okay? So there's this really cool paradigm that's going to take place, and it's going to happen really soon. And I'm very excited, I'm very scared, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've been going through anxiety myself over some things. But I believe and I know that God is going to pull us through, and I know that some really cool things are coming. So let's pray, and I want to pray kind of an impartation. In other words, I want to pray that God really overwhelm you in your life right now, this day, and that you leave here with an open heart or a prepared heart for what's to come for you. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. And we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you so much for your revelation and for your wisdom and for your knowledge. Father, I believe that you have brought everyone in here into this room for a very specific purpose today. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would touch them, touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch their souls, touch their spirits, whatever it needs to be, Father. But I pray that you would prepare their hearts for the amazing things that you have in store for their life. Because I know, because you've said that big things are coming, amazing things are coming. And I thank you so much that you've given that. And I pray that we would always seek you. I pray that we would always seek you with our whole heart, that we may find you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.